It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. And I believe we're in our eighth year right now, and there's like over 450 shows. I've stopped counting. The important thing is that all of my guests have been amazing contributors to the show for a good many years now. And I have a returning guest today, Julia Harrell, and we're going to be talking about the Sensitive Souls Holiday Survivor Kit. And what you can do during the Christmas holidays. We've already passed Thanksgiving now, but we have Christmas, we have all of the parties, we have New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and then, wow, we're starting off a brand new year. And what do you want to do with that? Maybe in order to live your best life, also to maybe protect yourself from people around you that don't have the same, I'm going to say, vibrational frequency, don't have the same emotional makeup that you may have as a person. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we get started, I always remind people all of the shows are archived at synergyconnectionradio.com. You just go to show notes, click there, and there's 25 to a page. So you can just kind of scroll through. There's a synopsis for each one, and you can listen to as many as you want. Go find your favorite people because they're scattered throughout those pages. Additionally, half of those shows are at your podcast. So if you don't want to go to the website, then you can certainly go just to your podcast and scroll through those. And I think there is about 200 shows or more that are at the podcast sites. So having said that, the one thing that I do mention to everybody is I have been using the Boomers Forever Young products for over 8 years. And I think they're amazing in terms of their ability to keep you healthy. And the buzzword out there these days is regenerative medicine. You know, how do we reverse age? And this is a company that actually is doing that. And their brand new product that's coming out, it's not even available. I can't wait to get hold of it myself, but it will be available in another couple of weeks, is called Collagene. It's pronounced differently than it's spelled. So it's Collagene. But what it is, it's the same man who created the Myotrol. And I've been talking about the Myotrol for over a year and how people are building stamina and muscles. And of course, we know that as you age, muscle atrophy is one of the big issues. And if your muscles begin to decline, which they will at age 50, by the time you're, let's say 70, you've lost 20% of your muscle mass. So Myotrol is one of those products that stops that. It rebuilds muscle and it also improves stamina. But collagene is altogether different. And I'm not even going to be able to tell you a whole lot about it today. But what it does do is it rebuilds the cartilage in your body. And so usually if you've been athletic, I have been pretty much an athlete most of my life. So if you've been athletic, your knees, your joints, your arms, you know, if you were a swimmer, if you played tennis, if you played golf, your joints all were impacted. And as you age, when you get up in the morning, you can kind of go, oh, that's a little bit sore. And this collagene is going to totally rebuild the cartilage that's in those joints. And so it manages your pain and it rebuilds the cartilage, which is where the pain is coming from because you've got bone on bone in many instances, or at least diminished cartilage in a particular, like a knee joint or a shoulder joint. So avoiding surgery is primary here. And I think most people would agree that as you age, you don't come through surgeries as well as you did if you had to have one at 20 or 30 or even 40. But after 50, if you're having surgery, it's tough. It's very tough to recover. So, anyways, I will tell you more about the collagen as it becomes available. You can go to their website by just clicking the link on my website. And if you're into the podcast itself, there's a link there for you too. All righty, we're gonna jump right into the Sensitive Souls Holiday Survival Kit. And Julia and I were talking before we started recording about something that had happened to me a couple of weeks ago now. And do you want me to start there, Julia, and then we'll just kind of proceed?
Yes, I think so because it ties right in for the sensitive person that's picking up these extra energies. It's not just on a feeling level. There's other ways of these informations coming in, which is exactly what you were describing. I think that'd be great.
Okay.
And I want to hear the rest of the story.
I have had two guests on the show in the last 6 months that Julia knows, and Mark Anthony is one. Mark's been on the show a number of times, and another one by the name of Michael Andre Ford, who works with angelic beings. And so Michael had shared with me some time ago now that if I wanted to be more in contact with my own guides, to just have a conversation with them, not necessarily set aside a time to meditate or to journal or something like that, but just talk to them. So throughout your day, you can say, hey, I'd like to have some guidance here. Or can you shed some light on something that's going on in your life? And then just be open to listening. Sometimes they're going to use symbols. Sometimes they're going to actually talk to you and you'll be able to hear it in an auditory way. And I've always been very auditory. It comes in on my right side for whatever reason, not my left, but my right. And so that's been an ongoing thing for many, many years for me. Well, when I started doing what Michael suggested, it was, I would pick up little pieces here and there, and it would be make me smile as much as anything because it would be like, oh, I was thinking about that too. And that was the way it was going. The other thing that I had mentioned to Julia was this probably over the last year or more, I've been getting something that is a visual. And when I go to sleep at night, if I have the lights out, the room's dark, and I close my eyes, and it's now, supposedly time to go to sleep, I get almost like a flashlight reaction. It's like the whole room is bright. And I open my eyes and it's black. I close my eyes and it's bright. And sometimes it's almost like Morse code. I'm getting flashes of a solid for maybe not even a second, and then a couple of short ones, and then a solid. So it's I'm always checking to make sure that it's not my imagination. And no, it's not, because it doesn't go away until after maybe as much as 3 or 4 minutes, and then it will dissipate. But it's like somebody's trying to get my attention. Well, in this particular case, what I was sharing with Julia is I was just about to wake up. It was about 5:45 in the morning, and I usually get up at 6, and I knew I was still sleeping, but it was a very vivid kind of a video that was going on in my head, and I was observing it. And so I was sitting on a bench, and it was sort of in a lobby kind of affair because I couldn't really see walls and I couldn't see particular people, although I knew there were people there. But then one person that I know very well walked right past me and sort of gave me a hi and just kept walking. And I remember thinking to myself that he was dressed much, much better than normal. And that, I was like, wow, he looks really sharp. And then there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, there was this. And I'm going to say it was an entity because I don't know what else to call it. But it was gliding, like floating towards me, not walking. The other person had been walking. This was gliding. And I was aware that there was no legs that I was seeing, but I was seeing his torso. I knew that he was about 5'11". He wasn't real tall. I could see his face super clearly. And his eyes were real twinkly and blue, and his hair was kind of a curly off-white blonde. And he had this almost amused look on his face because it made me chuckle because he just looked like he was going to burst out laughing. And at that point, I remember thinking in my heart, now that's where the feeling was. It was this sensation of, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're here. Where did you come from? You know, it was just, I was so excited. Well, the whole thing startled me right awake. I was like, boom, I was awake. And yet I was desperately trying to figure out who that person was. It was like, oh my gosh, I know him. I know him. Who is it? And I couldn't, you know, get there with a name or anything else, but it has been so clear. So there you go.
That's awesome. I love that story. And it really reflects where we are as humanity right now, thinning of the veil. So being able to communicate easier, get those intuitive downloads. For sensitives, you might be a little overloaded with the feeling part. That's just one of the clairs. That's called clairsentience. What you're describing, clairvoyance of seeing, the little movie playing out. That's clairvoyance. You're clairvoyant, Lucy. The intuitive hits that you were getting were coming from top of the head. We call claircognizance is the fancy word. So that's when you just know things. It's a little harder to trust those, but that's really the highest level of knowing. You just know it. So to me, what this represents is you ask the universe, I would like to speak, I would like some guidance. I'd like to speak with an angel or a guide on the other side. And if we ask, it's given. It's a law, right? And so it got delivered to you in the in like that the not quite the threshold space, but was it more like a dream for you or like right when you're awakening?
It wasn't a dream. I would say that it was very vivid, like it could have been real.
Yes. So that time right before we go to sleep and right when we wake up is a little thinner to the veil. We just came from the astral space, the dream space, and we're just coming back, or we're just leaving the physical body and going to that energetic space. So that's that wobble time there is a little more easy to connect with that. And I'll tell you a cool story when my dad passed about that too. To me, it looks like that's your primary guide that you saw. So, with the first person that walked by, you saw the difference in just a regular person walking the earth. And then your guide, who is not in a physical body, who is pure spirit, doesn't need feet, or I mean, he's probably got them, in his astral body. But can glide because he's not having the same earth experience as us, walking one day at a time, having time click by, on a watch the same. And the look that he gave you and the knowing this, and you're like, oh, I know you and I love you, but who are you? That's a sounds 100% like your primary guide. So the person we call our primary spirit guide is one that's been with us throughout all of our incarnations. That guide that sits with us right before we come into this body as Lucy and decides, okay, it'd be a good experience to live in these places, to have these relationships, to really work deeply on an emotional level with people. And you kind of chart these things out together with your guide. And maybe you check your list. Okay, last time we worked on a couple things, you did really great here. Let's fine-tune that with some other scenarios. They know everything about you. They've been your BFF for the whole time, even before this incarnation, all throughout your experiences from spirit to body and back. And they're your best cheerleader. They're there cheering you on. Go, Lucy, go.
Well,
Throughout all your experiences, and they love the communication.
I feel like that is one of the primary reasons is that I started really paying attention to messages, which sent me back to Wisconsin. living from Florida, and I was sharing with you the high for
Right.
the day is probably going to be 10 or 11, and the wind
Sure.
chill this morning was minus 20. But I'm not out in it. I mean, it's very sunny and it's nice and comfy where I am. But nevertheless, when I realized that they wanted me to return to Wisconsin, it was once I said okay, it was like okay, on to the next. Now we're going to find a place for you to live. And then we did that, and then on to the next. And so it's really fascinating how I am being guided to the people I need to have in my life now. And there's still people in my life from Florida, but it's evolving, into something new here.
Yeah, I remember watching you go through that process, and as soon as you declared it, again, ask and it's given, right? But can we receive it? That's another step. You could receive it, so it just went boop, 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 you know, and everything fell into place. Next thing I know, I'm logging in early because you're in a new time zone now. You've moved.
Yes, that's true. All right. An hour's difference from where we were before.
Yeah, I was going to share with you a story about when my father passed, and this was just last April. Now, I talk with spirits all the time. So I talk with, I say hi to Dad every day, especially when I drive by the golf course.
Because he would have been there.
He would have been there, yeah. But this morning, my sister, who's just living her life, doing stuff, kids and things. She's got a spiritual side, but mostly is, just doing life. Well, she woke up one morning and, kind of looked around. Okay, I've been traveling. Where am I today? But that space right when you wake up, looked over to the side and saw a full body apparition of my dad sitting there. This was like 3 days after his passing, or a week. Maybe a week and a half. It was pretty fresh. And sitting there in a chair with his legs crossed and looking straight at her. And it was like yours. It was like, but maybe a little different because this was a full body apparition of a recently passed over person. And he had appeared fully head to toe. A lot of times when I see spirit beings, I just kind of get their head and shoulders and it's kind of fuzzy and stuff. But I asked her a million questions. I said, what color shirt? Oh, it was purple and green. Okay. Did he, she said he had Bermuda shorts on. Yeah. He would have, with a golf shirt, you would of course have pair that with Bermuda shorts. And I said, well, how old did he look? She said, oh, probably about 40. So that was him in his heyday, right? Playing golf, sunny day, got the shorts on, good times. And I said, well, how did he look? Because, there's problems when at the end of life with health going on. And she said, happier than I've ever seen him in his entire life.
Oh, so he was sending a message as I'm here, I'm enjoying life, on the other side.
And so I asked her, well, is there anything to fear in death? She couldn't come up with anything.
I don't, I think the unknown is what people fear. Is it going to hurt? The near-death experiences of people I've talked to, as well as books I've read, usually it's they don't necessarily want to go on because of the people they're leaving behind, but they have a very difficult time not going because they see what life really is.
Yeah, I think it, there can probably be different circumstances, but depending on what's the life path, the curriculum we're working on. Like my teacher died and came back seven times before he passed permanently. And each time he went over, he met with his guides. He bypassed all the tunnel and seeing your family and friends and loved ones and went right to kind of a holy space and met with his guides. And was given a choice. You want to stay here with us or you want to go back, so for him, they decided he'd do more good to help people if he came back. So I think that was his curriculum. So for some people, It just depends on what they're working on in this lifetime.
You know, the one thing that I don't know that it's ever been clarified, but it seems to me like in some cases, let's say that you lived, I had a lifetime as a Viking back in the 1400s. So I may have taken, in an earthly sense, several hundred years before I chose to come back again. But I also believe that I was alive. I'm almost positive I was alive during World War II. And that would be only a few years, you know, by spirit standards, before I came back again. And so I think it just kind of depends on maybe does your life end real abruptly and you can't maybe accomplish what you had set out to accomplish, so you come back to finish. I don't know whether that's the way it works, but it feels like that could be the case because when I wrote my children's book, there was so much in that book that I should not have known. And it's one of those things where you, it's like automatic writing. The book wrote itself. And when I finished and I started working on the website, which I don't know whether that's Bass Ackwards or not, but I started working on the website and I thought, well, I need to explain this. And I would go do my research and it would be like, wow. And I think I told you that the mice are born in St. John's Church in Weardale, England. So I looked up Weardale, England. And yes, there was a St. John's Church. And that's not such a big deal in that that's a common name. But here was the point that blew me away. So on every single pew in that church is a mouse. The man who made the pews carved a mouse on at each and every pew. That was his signature. And that has been there for several hundred years. And so, how would I have known, you know, some of those things? I mean, I wouldn't have. I've never been there. The mice carry little shards of fluorite. Weardale, England is the largest fluorite mining area in the world. I had no idea, but I knew that they were going to have little pieces of fluorite because it's in so many different colors. And each color represents a chakra. So a little piece of yellow for somebody working on themselves, a little piece of blue for somebody working on their voice and speaking their truth. So all of these little pieces were there, but I didn't realize it until I started working on the website.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah, I think you're probably more tied into your primary guide there than you realize. One side note, and then I know we'll switch back to the sensitive survival kit. Oh shoot, I lost my thought already.
A
Oh
side
well.
note on the website or the on where
Pardon?
under.
Oh, that we have secondary guides too. So you have a primary guide that's always with you. They're assigned to you, you could say, and they're your best cheerleader. But you might get secondary guides, specialists that help you with writing, specialists that help somebody with music or speaking or whatever. So you can call in specialty guides as well. I called in a specialty guide when I was doing a writing project for a book. And so we work together in that way, but it's not my primary guide. And it's funny because I called in, I do a whole thing of meditation setup and I go to Supreme Being and I say, can you assign to me a specialty guide, for my what I'm working on, my content and stuff to help me with writing? And guide came in, I said, hi, who are you? And she said, my name's Claire. And I said, oh, come on. Like clairvoyance, claircognizance, clairsentience. And she said, yep. So that'll be perfect. Let's work. And I had to write a chapter for this person's book and did it in a day. It just flowed right out.
Yeah, and I think when the channel is open, that is the way it works. we could probably do that with almost every aspect of our life if we just kept open channels.
Yes, but that's the thinning of the veil that's going on right now. And just I'll finish with this idea and get everybody over to the survival guide. But the veil is definitely thinning, as you just talked about with your experience and my sister seeing my dad, us getting these intuitive downloads, And these abilities are waking up. They're waking up. They're waking up. They're waking up. We can't put the genie back in the bottle. We're not supposed to. And they're here
Oh,
for
so it's the
everybody.
time that it's now.
I think it's astrological and just where we have gotten to as a humanity.
As a
So we
humanity.
see this last ditch effort of division trying to go, no, keep things in turmoil. But the light of truth is really shining in and going, look at who you really are. And so not just the body personality, the ego part, but look at who the imprint of you on the soul level is. That's the part that's really bubbling up. So
So, survival guide.
for sensitives, one of the first abilities to wake up is feeling everything. And so the holidays are coming up, and if you're feeling Aunt Joe's worried over here, and Uncle Bob's got financial stuff, and then somebody's got a medical thing over here, and somebody's trying to make a decision about after college, and you have all this emotional variety pack going on. As a sensitive person, you're probably going to be feeling all of that. Just so anybody listening, you can adjust that. You don't have to just get used to it. There are ways to adjust it. And here's five tips. So I would say the first one is to do your best to drop your resistance to where the other person is. Because if we walk in and we go, oh, she's going to do that thing again, she's going to do that thing again, I'm already tensed up. And that's a vibration that's attractive too. It kind of promotes that. So dropping the resistance, allowing others to be where they already are. They're walking their path, they're in their classroom, they're working on, maybe that person's working on being a good mom this life. Maybe they're not real good at communicating certain things, but they are getting better at being a mom or, whatever curriculum they're working on. So, allowing others to be where they are and dropping our own resistance, that would be number one. And I would say number two, as a sensitive, this is pretty common. Maybe you need a little downtime. And so taking a walk, getting out in nature is always really good. Quiet time to reset with your headphones or something. After all this training and everything, I still love my alone time, but I don't do it out of resistance. That's bad over there. That's bad juju, bad energy. It's like, oh, I just need to reset, and I'll do some techniques too. Like the next one, three, grounding practice. So imagining a grounding cord from the base of the spine to the center of the earth, and you could think of it as like a trash chute too, of anybody else's emotions that I've accidentally picked up. And I really like to stay away from the wording of absorb because I don't think it feels like that, but we're not going in a room going, I want your pain. I want your grief. We don't do that. As healers, we're curious and we want to help, but it's really matching frequency. And so now I've got the matched frequency of somebody worried over here and a health thing here and a, what job do I do after college thing over here. Drop it all down the grounding cord. Those are their circumstances, their classroom, their curriculum they're working on. So take a moment. That would be step three, have a grounding practice. I'll give you five. If you're going into, here's step four. If you're going into a space that normally makes you a little bit nervous, fill the room with divine love before you get there. Not my personal heart space love, divine love. Just a neutral. Just divine love. And this time of year, there's Christ energy like crazy. It's just flowing in, available, like a big spigot coming from the universe. Just tap that open and let it flow into the room where you're having a gathering. So the communication happens through that. And I would say one of the bigger things we, for five, one of the bigger things we talk about in the clairvoyant training is neutrality. Be as passersby. So that comes back to kind of allowing people to be where they are. But even if they're going to do that thing again that bothers you, give them space to do it. It's going to happen one way or another. And if it's going to happen one way or another, then can you like create a space for them to go ahead and have that? It's like the bully in the schoolyard. If we don't engage them, they stop bullying. Just there as passersby, like, look at that bully. Wow. It's really going after it today. How about that? But being in that more neutral space, then we get less entangled in the outcome.
I have often referred as the practice of allowing, just
Yes.
allowing anything to be, whether it's animals, people, situations. But if we can learn to observe and just allow, then there's a lesson in it, I think. And when we react, we lose the lesson.
Exactly. Exactly. Same thing, I think. We just use the word neutrality of, like, if I'm walking down the street and somebody goes, "Hey, you got stupid hair." I could either really get upset and go, "My hair is perfect. I've worked hard on it, and Instagram says it's a good haircut, and my friend has this haircut, and it's the right length for my face." And also, I can go right into explaining and resistance, basically. Or the same scenario, somebody goes, "Oh, you got stupid hair. Huh, what's that guy's problem?" That's weird. And stay on with my walk. That's working more towards the neutrality. We get tangled in it when we want to change them.
And that's always true. Because the only person, and you know this, and I know this as a therapist, the only person you ever change is yourself. You can't change anybody else. And the number of people that I've met over the years that marry someone or are in a relationship with someone to help them never works.
We'll call that a healing project.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because often it's a really super capable healer, and they know what it would take to help that person, and they have this ability in them that really wants to support others, that really wants to help others. You can do that in a myriad of different ways, but sometimes they get confused in a romantic partnership with, "Oh, this is a really good healing project. This is an outlet for that part of me that really wants to heal. And I don't have people showing up on my doorstep otherwise. So come on, baby, let's go."
Let's go. Oh, that's a cute way to look at it, for sure. It's one thing to go to the animal rescue place and walk in and let an animal choose you. Probably a whole different matter to think you're going to rescue a person, because I'm not sure if that ever does work.
Healing projects. And after a while, and the thing about back to guides is that that person's guide that's choosing that healing project of the mate that needs work, that person's guide is right there tapping them on the shoulder and sort of gently guiding, pull your energy back a little bit. Now let's try, let them fail if they need to. Let them, if they're a leader, if their partner is a leader, let them find their way. They're going to really want to find their way. And so the guide's going like this. They're not saying you're wrong. They never say you're wrong, you're bad, you should be doing other. They just take you where you are and gently keep you moving forward on your path. And whether we dated somebody and took it on as a healing project, your guide is always there going, "Okay, well, you made a good decision by getting in there so you could learn about yourself as a healer. And you learned that it exhausted you. Now let's choose another mate where there's less of that."
Or
And
even a stronger
eventually an
partner.
e a better equal partnership.
How many times, this is something I think that Michael and also Mark Anthony had mentioned, that we have families, like spirit families, that we tend to keep coming into lifetimes with. And we reconnect with them quite a bit. I mean, I'm not going to say every single time, because I'm not sure that we find each other in every lifetime. But for the most part, we'll somehow, some way reconnect. And we kind of know when that happens. Do you find that to be also true with everything you're doing?
Absolutely. And that's a great tie-in to the whole talk here, from spirit guides to survival guide for being around family and all those trigger points, is that we are part of a bigger spirit family. These people we incarnated with, we have a certain amount of karma that we're working on. There's they're part of your soul family too, but there's often people outside of that that come in. They might be a teacher here. They might be a friend. They might be a roommate in college. They may come and go, but when you see them, there's an instant recognition and an instant like, oh, there you are. Good to see you. They may show up as one of your children. They may show up as the doctor that delivered the children. They may show up as mentors or the Girl Scout teacher or all kinds of things. But there's an instant feeling of safety, and I know you, and like, good to see you again. Let's have some fun.
So I guess one of the thoughts that I've had, and maybe this will lead someplace too, is let's just say that you were in Africa in one lifetime, and you were like me, a Viking in another lifetime, and maybe you were fighting in World War I in another lifetime. Does that family of souls, let's say, do they join you in each location?
Some yes and some no, depending on what you're working on. So like maybe you want to have an experience as a male that's, in Africa here, that's gathering and really paying attention to the land and the moon cycles and tracking and stuff. And then you want to come in and be a mother over here, or you want to be a daughter with some special needs over here. We create different scenarios for different learning experiences. And friends that are aligned, spirit friends that are aligned with that are like, oh, I'd like to do that too. That sounds like a good experience. Let's
Yeah,
go.
so then let's pal up together and we'll go do
Yeah.
better. All right, now I've got another one that's a tougher question, I think. But I want to pr approach this because we can always jump off into this at another recording. And that's parallel realities. Is it possible that we are all living exactly at the same time, but one might be 1400, one might be 1800, one might be 2025, but that we have the ability to garner knowledge simultaneously in each lifetime, but it's going on in a parallel dimension.
Interesting. I'll answer that in 2 points, one from my dad's experience and the other. This is, I don't have the concrete knowledge. It's not scientifically measurable that I know of, but my intuitive hit is that Earth is the only planet that has time that we understand it, that's linear, boom, 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 boom. It's like as soon as you get in space, time is different, And so probably other galaxies and stuff, it's different. So the fact that it's happening simultaneously, that kind of makes sense to me. Do I have a real experience? Kind of yes and no. I did have an experience of parallel life one time when I was going to Lake Tahoe, and I got up there and didn't realize it was a really bad storm. Like, how do you go to Lake Tahoe and not prepare and have chains and everything? So I was up there, and I'm not aware of how I shifted into the space, but I am aware that I got a little sick, and I'm doing the work that I was doing, and I opened my computer, and I was really paying attention to the computer because all the other people there had stickers on their computer. Like, they're clearly parents of young kids that put stickers on things. And mine was clean. But there were these claw marks. There were these three, like, indented marks there. And I'm like, a MacBook is not something easy to scratch. And they were deep. And I'm like, how did that happen? I can't see any table or anything around here that would make such a mark. And how on earth would I not recognize your computer as part of you, And I just thought, well, that's the weirdest thing. And then I had a car accident in the snow because it was this horrible snowstorm, and I slid into a pole. And I remember calling my buddy who's in the car mechanic business, and I said, what would it cost to replace this front quarter panel? And so, front corner quarter panel, that's where it hit. The trip goes on. It's a bunch of snow. I bought some chains, did the thing, came home, and I felt a little out of it. Somehow, coming down the hill, I feel like something shifted coming down the hill, and it's through a blizzard. Seriously, it was a blizzard. I got back to the Bay Area, and I got up the next day, and I went to my car, and I'm like, oh man, I have to fix my car. And I go to look, and the front quarter panel is fine. I'm like, what?
Oh my goodness.
I go around to the front of the car, but the front bumper had a dent, and that's a different repair. That's an easier repair. And then I thought, oh, maybe my computer. And I ran in the house and I looked at my computer, completely clean as it is right now.
No scratches.
Clean, it's no scratches, nothing.
Wow.
So I think there is more going on than we're aware of.
I think so too. Because it would make sense to me that all knowledge is accessible. And, we think of it as, okay, go to Google or go to AI now, and AI will pull it all together for you. But we have, I believe, the ability to have access to everything, but we have blinders on. We don't believe, therefore, we don't have. And there's so much in my lifetime that I've been able to do as a healer, and I've never been trained as a healer, but I evidently was a healer in every lifetime. And so that knowledge has come with me, and it's just manifested in this one. And I go back to that biblical, I believe it's in John, but the comment about, and this you will be able to do and more.
Yes,
Right.
exactly.
And I tell that to people, that he knew. He obviously was, of us, but not. But he knew that we all had these skills and abilities, and
Yes.
we just have forgotten. We've forgotten along the way.
Beautifully put. Absolutely. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And for me, the magic is being right here, right now,
Yes.
tuning in and receiving that insight. It's not going out to 13 universes over to the right. And
Right.
it's about being right here, right now.
Yeah, we don't have to do warp speed.
No. And you might bring back guests that are uninvited if you do that. So
No,
being right here, right now is really recommended.
true.
That's where the magic is.
Well, during the magic of the holidays, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we will be talking to you after the beginning of 2026, someplace in the spring. So in the meantime, I hope you and your family have just wonderful holidays together.
Thank you, Lucy. You as well.
All right. Well, everybody, please share this show with your family and your friends and let them know how to reach Julia. And Julia, why don't you let them know as well? It is always on the synopsis, but go ahead and tell them.
If you go to juliaherrell.com, make sure you get on my mailing list. I've got a new school that's opening in a few weeks.
Cool.
Start with the reading is a good place, and there's lots of other offerings. So start there. All my socials are on the homepage as well. You can connect through TikTok or whatever.
All right. That's awesome. I know you'll have a successful year.
Thank you. You as well, Lucy.
Thanks. All right, everyone. Please go out there and make this your best life, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.